I'd like to call to order the June 15th, 2010 meeting of the Atascadero Planning Commission. Commissioner Schmidt, would you lead us in a pledge to our flag?
Yes, sir. Please stand and place your hand on your heart and follow me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Annette.
Commissioner Jack.
I'm here.
We're a little loud. Getting feedback.
Commissioner Carl Marino.
Here.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Here.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bence.
Present.
Chairperson Moreno.
Here.
And Commissioner Ward. Commissioner Ward is absent and is an excused absence, if you'll please note that.
Thank you. Six present and one absent.
Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So approved.
Second.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Jack, seconded by Commissioner Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Bence?
Yes.
And Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Now is the time for public comment. It's the portion of our meeting that is reserved for persons wishing to address the commission on any matter that is not on the agenda and over which the commission has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. You would state your name and address for the record before making your statement, and the commission may choose to direct staff to place a matter on a future agenda. Is there anyone wishing to speak? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Do we have any Planning Commission business? All right, seeing none. On to the consent calendar. Do I have a motion?
So move approval of the minutes.
Second?
Second.
All right. Motion by Vice Chairperson Bence, second by Commissioner Colomarino. Roll call, please.
Vice Chairperson Bence?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right, there are no community development staff reports tonight, so we'll go on to public hearings. Callie.
Tonight we're looking at a conditional use permit for a proposed use. The use is an indoor motorcycle sales and service. This would allow indoor sales of motorcycles and ATVs within the existing building. A service component is proposed with the use, and this is an accessory use to the sales. To give you a little bit of background about the site, it's an existing two-story building located at 5850 El Camino Real. The property was developed in 1926, so it's a historical structure. It was previously a Atascadero Market, and it has offices and previously residences upstairs. It's currently used for Mobley's, and they do retail sales. It's clothing with motorcycle and surf gear, and motorcycle sales and service is proposed at the existing Mobley shop, and that's in addition to the existing retail sales. This is an aerial photo of the project site, and it includes the building and the parking lot next door, and then the offices are upstairs. It's in the downtown commercial zoning district, and in the downtown vehicle sales are allowed as a conditional use permit only when everything is indoors. So all sales and all display areas must be located indoors. And then motorcycle repair and service is allowed as an accessory use to the motorcycle sales. And that must also be indoors. In order to be an accessory use, it's only allowed to occupy a small percentage of the total floor area. So we've restricted it to 20% of the floor area of the business. This is a site plan that the applicant has provided. It shows the retail area, which will include the motorcycle sales area, and then the service area in the back. Staff has included proposed conditions with the resolution. Some of these conditions are for consistency. Most of these are for consistency with the surrounding uses and with the downtown commercial zone. So we're looking at the first condition is to obtain a building permit for tenant improvements, and that's for the proposed change in occupancy. The vehicle service and repair is a different use than different occupancy use than the existing retail shop. So there will be some upgrades that need to be done for ventilation, fire separation, and there'll be limits on hazardous materials that can be kept on site. All sales and displays and service shall be indoors. The shop shall comply with the noise ordinance. So that would be like if the motorcycles are outside or if they're being started up, then they would need just to maintain a low level of noise. They can't be revved. The engines can't be making too much noise. Off-road vehicles cannot be driven or operated in the public right-of-way. So the alley behind the shop or the street, El Camino Real, can't have vehicles or the ATVs that are not street legal. Staff has included a condition that a minimum of 50% of the floor area of the store be reserved for retail sales. So that's the total area of the shop shall be retail. And then the other 50% can be auto sales and service. And then 20% of the total would be for service. So if you think of that calculation, it's the 50%, so 30% could be for the sales, the auto sales and display, and then 20% for service. They'll also be required to obtain a business license and any required licensing through the DMV. There's also a condition in the resolution that the signage on site and the displays shall conform with our ordinance. So that would be specifically the portable signs that are out in front where our ordinance allows one of those with an encroachment permit. And then banners must be secured up against a building, and they're only allowed to be displayed for a maximum of 30 days. And then we'd also be looking at the motorcycles. Those would all need to be displayed indoors. There's also some Christmas lights and other decorations that are attached to the street trees and the poles out in front of the building, and those would need to be removed. The project qualifies for a categorical exemption, and this is for existing facilities and a conditional use permit. These are the findings that are identified in your staff report, and it's required to be consistent with the general plan, the zoning ordinance, and must be consistent with the orderly development of the rest of the uses in the zone. Staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution as proposed with a few modifications to the conditions. The first would be to clarify Condition 7, and this is in regards to the minimum 50% of the floor area for the retail sales. In this language, it would just clarify that a little bit. I know that was a little confusing. And then we are proposing to add Conditions 13 and 14, which would be compliance with the noise ordinance and that off-road vehicles should not be driven or operated in the public right-of-way. The Planning Commission may recommend modifications or may approve modifications to the project, may determine that more information is needed, or the Commission may deny the project based on findings. And the applicant is in the audience if the Planning Commission has any questions.
Thank you, Callie. Let's begin with any ex parte. If we start on my right here.
No ex parte.
None.
Yes, I visited the location and talked to Mr. Elliott, toured the site, and Buddy.
Okay. I, too, visited the site last week and spoke with Mr. Elliott, showed me the whole area, and just a couple of things. He said that he doesn't plan right now on getting a new dealer permit, probably just more consignment of vehicles and not a huge number of them. So just for information. And also he stressed the importance of needing to add this condition to really make his business viable. So that was our conversation.
None.
Thank you. All right, do we have any questions of staff? Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes. First, and kind of, I guess, more of an informational, a minor conditional use permit. What is the difference between a minor and a regular or a major conditional use permit?
The City Council has approved a fee schedule that has two different prices for conditional use permits. A minor use permit we do for use permits like this one where they're not. It doesn't require a lot of staff review. It's more just the Planning Commission hearing and consistency with the neighborhood. A major conditional use permit we do for very large projects where we're doing a lot of staff time working with the applicant to design the entire site, architectural review, site planning. And so that takes more time.
So it's based more on staff time than size of project?
That's
correct. Are they kind of equate with each other?
Yeah, use permits we see as a minor use permit, the lower fee, and then major conditional use permits would be a master plan of development.
Okay. Second question about the noise conditions and the mitigation. Noise typically is an ambient feature, and we have the freeway that's right behind the project site. Are we going to distinguish between a revving of a motorcycle and the freeway, and how's that going to work? It seems like we're kind of picking on the motorcycle where the noise in that area is already at a high level.
Our noise ordinance specifies everything by decibel levels. So if it exceeds a certain decibel level during a certain time of day, then it's not consistent with the noise ordinance. So there would be more of a thing where if there was an issue, the code enforcement officer would go out there and would be able to make a determination if there was noise that was going beyond what the code allows.
So the freeway doesn't exceed those decibel levels for that back area?
In some areas, the freeway probably does, but we don't have any control over the freeway. Mm-hmm. But we do have control over commercial uses, so commercial uses must comply with our ordinance.
Lastly, about the off-road vehicle issue, is the alley a public right-of-way?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Yes, in bringing this Mobley's up to fire and building code requirements, is it just the downstairs, just that portion? What about the second story as well?
We're just looking at the area that's proposed for the service use. So that's it's defined as a different occupancy in the code. What we've got is a retail use now adjacent to a service motorcycle repair use. Mm-hmm. So there just needs to be a certain amount of ventilation and separation for fire requirements between those two. excuse me, I don't know the specifics of what the building code will require. What we've included in the resolution is that the applicant comes in to obtain a tenant improvement permit, and they'll be able to work with the building official and the building inspectors to meet exactly what it says in the code. That way, whatever's existing can be upgraded to what needs to be done.
Okay, and also, it being a historical building, is there going to be any requirements put on the tenant of Mobley's to do any work on the exterior of that area where the service is going to be?
No, we have not included anything for the exterior. The service is proposed in the back of the building, and most of the back of the building isn't really consistent with what was historically permitted on site, so we don't have a concern about that anything historical being affected.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Commissioner Jack.
I'll tell you where I'm going first. I'm looking beyond the current enterprise, should it be sold or something of that nature. What is the total combined square footage of the facility? I know it's 246 square feet for the proposed service area.
Oops. I don't have an exact number, but I could take a look at their site plan and see if I can come up with something.
You yeah. come back to me on that. And so if 20% of that can be devoted to service, that's where I'm trying to get, is if it were expanded, if the service area were expanded, would it require approval, or how many square feet could that ultimately entail?
Right now we know that it's about 250 square feet. That's about 5% of the building, so it could be increased quite a bit from what they're showing on this floor plan. But it is a maximum of 20% of the total area of the building. That's kind of a standard number that we use for an accessory.
Yeah, but if you've got 20% of the building for service, and you've got 50% for the retail, and it falls under the definition of motor vehicles as well as motor, off-road. I mean, that's the way it's zoned. Is that not correct, or am I in error there?
I'm sorry, you'll have to say it one more time.
Well, the exact zoning for this particular parcel falls under the automotive, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's an auto sales use.
Okay, which basically says that someone purchasing the property at a later date under this conditional use permit could change the general direction and could literally market automobiles out of the place.
Yes, that is a possibility, and that's why we've included that condition to maintain the 50% retail sales, and that's just the existing store that's there, the clothing, the gear, surfboards, things like that will need to be maintained at least 50% of the area. That was a concern that staff had as well.
So that's 50% of the actual square footage?
Of the total store. And we're took a look at the square footage. It looks like it's about 4,500 square feet.
But you could do you could do total automotive in there and still fall within the retail aspects of it with the parts and other accessories that go along with motor vehicles. I'm just not excited about the prospects of seeing a car dealer downtown. So that's my concern at this point, not with the current applicant's described usage. And I will also have a concern with a display outside display area. So I'm interested in trying to mitigate to prevent something like that happening 3-5 years down the road when the Carlton is up and running and the whole complexion of the downtown has changed and is, hopefully meeting the vision of many people in this city.
The outdoor displays is a concern, and that's why it's specific in our ordinance that can only be indoor auto sales. The ordinance is specific that there can't be any display or any sales located outside the building. Also, the service aspect, everything has to be located inside. They do currently have some motorcycles out on the sidewalk in front of the store, and staff has been concerned of that, both from a safety issue and from a code compliance issue. So there is a condition in there that they all be brought within the building.
Okay. I think for right now, that's the only questions I've got.
Commissioner Colomarino.
Yes, I think, am I mistaken? Did you say that currently they're planning about 200 square feet for service?
Yes, there's an area in the back of the building. It's about 250 square feet.
250. But they could go to 900, I guess, 20% of 4,500?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
And would there be any restriction on where that service, that additional 700 square feet would be? Would it still be in the back? Could it be in the front? Could you have a big grease operation going on in the front window or what?
Technically, you could. There is that potential. We don't have a specific condition regarding what part of the building. We do say that the service has to be subordinate to the auto sales. That's the only reason that the service is allowed. It's service is not an allowed use by itself in the downtown. It's only with a dealership.
And would it be possible to condition this so that the service area has to be in the back?
You could condition that they are required to follow the floor plan that's adopted in the resolution. So we could do that. It's Exhibit B of the resolution. So you could add a condition that, or actually maybe modify condition number 8 to say that rather than 20% of the floor area, just that they follow the floor plan in Exhibit B and limit it to the 250 square feet.
And then would that remain binding on any successor tenants or owners? Or
yes, it would.
Thank you.
Callie, would you bring up a picture again of the front of the shop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in looking at the front of the shop with all the signs, the bikes, everything, can you state for us what needs to be done for them to be brought within compliance?
Yes, we have the banner sign here that's located between the tree and the light pole. So that needs to be removed and secured against the building. They are allowed to have a banner sign, but they can only have one banner, and it has to be flat up against the building. And then it can be displayed for 30 days, and then it has to be down for 60 days. So you can't constantly have a banner displayed.
Okay.
The portable signs, our ordinance does allow for portable or A-frame signs. They're allowed to be a maximum size of 2 feet wide and 5 feet tall. So this one is pretty close. I think it's probably about 2 feet wide, maybe a little bit wider. But the other sign does not comply and needs to be removed completely. And they need to obtain an encroachment permit to have it in the street. The city is concerned to make sure that that there's still a path of travel on the sidewalk, even if signs are in the street. The motorcycles also need to be removed from the front of the store, so there's no outdoor display of motorcycles allowed. And then we're also looking at the decorations that are attached to in the public right-of-way. So there's some Christmas lights that are strung between the trees. I think there's some like garland, or it looks like some leftover Christmas decorations out in front of there. So those all need to be removed so that there's nothing left in the right-of-way except for what's permitted.
Okay, so of everything that's there, the three signs, the bikes, the lights, the only things that would remain would be the one sign there on the bottom right, and then the applicant could have a banner flat against the wall 30 days out of every 90.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. And any other questions for staff before we open up to the public? Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes, and I'd like to carry on with the discussion about the size of the allowable use under the ordinance, which we've stated is 20% of the maximum square footage area. Right now, the applicant's asking for 250 feet of this use. As Commissioner Colomarino had identified, 900 would be the maximum. Does the applicant need to come in for a reconsideration or a modification of this permit to expand to an area greater than 250 square feet?
Yes, if you changed that condition number 8, to say 250 square feet instead of the 20%, then that would run with this conditional use permit. They would need to do an amendment to the permit in order to do anything larger than 250 square feet of surface area.
With respect to the questions of Commissioner Jack, it almost sounded more of a land use issue more than anything else. I mean, the idea that we're zoned to allow for the car sales in this area, if we don't want that, then there would be a change of land use to something that would be a downtown zone that would say no car sales, correct?
It's actually a conditional use, so it is under the discretion of the Planning Commission to allow or not allow auto sales in this area. So it's based on compatibility with the other uses around, if it's consistent with the neighborhood and consistent with the direction that that the area is going.
In that, the staff had made a condition recommending 20% of the area could be used versus the square footage. With staff not concerned about the expansion of the use to the maximum 900 square feet, and then had written the condition that way on that purpose?
20% is our standard. We actually have a community development policy for things that are not specifically identified in the code. So in this case, we have a policy that says for a subordinate or accessory use, it can occupy up to 20% of the floor area. So that's where we got that number from.
So if we wanted to on the condition, I would rather have the flexibility of the applicant being able to expand to the 900 if he chooses desire. But if we're concerned about where that's located, we could modify the condition to say the expansion of the use of the permit would have to be at the back of the building or the front, or wherever we wanted to place it. We could identify that.
That's correct. The ordinance is not specific, so you can include a condition to say whatever you need to in order to make the use consistent with the neighborhood.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to go ahead and open up to the applicant to speak. If you'd come to the podium and give us your name and yes, please. A lectern, yes. And you'll have to push the button there for the microphone. It's not on right now.
It's pushing the lights on.
There you go. Okay. You got it.
I'm Charlie Elliott, so owner of Mobley's. A couple concerns. One, as far as the outside motorcycle thing, our property line ends where those pillars are right in front right there. Is it possible to consider a fact of maybe putting them still on our property but outside? Maybe barricade them off a little, or it's a big source of advertising for me for the outside, where I think that Heather and Sandy have seen out there that without them out there, our especially limited our exposure really in that part of the city is limited.
Okay. Can you speak to that, Callie?
The ordinance does allow for only indoor sales, so it's specific that no outdoor display or no outdoor sales is permitted within the downtown.
Okay. Do you have any comments or any questions that we've asked that you want to address? And I'll see if any of the commissioners have questions, but if there's anything that you wanted to bring up.
That's basically it. I think the one banner, the yellow one, it's down already, where we just had it up for the first, I don't know, 3 weeks or something. And then the other part, again, like I say, is exposure to the street, even maybe for a set period of time or something. And again, which is one of our best sources of advertising.
Okay. Are there any commissioners that have questions for Mr. Elliott? Commissioner Colomarino.
Yes, Mr. Elliott, with respect to the service area that you plan, you're comfortable with the current plan of about 250 square feet in the back?
Yeah, actually, the area specific. There's a garage that's in the back that was the landlord's, and so there's really no room to expand anywhere without a building permit and, you know, a whole addition, you know. So as far as that 246 square foot, it's an obvious area, so I don't think we probably won't have any motivation to expand there at all. So
you would have no objection then if we were to condition this on not 20%, but rather the existing 250 square foot service area?
Yeah, no whatsoever.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Jack.
Mr. Elliott, I know you and I chatted briefly about from the marketing aspects and the need to have some sort of display of vehicle out there. Yet a lot of that is going to be, even if you were able to do so, when you've got cars parked in front there really no one can see the smaller bikes anyway. Now, I don't know about the bigger bikes because there wasn't a bigger bike out there. Is there some other, what I was thinking of is maybe even a video screen inside the store that would have something, changing promotional type of thing that would have pictures of the different bikes and that, as opposed to having the bikes right out on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I wouldn't be adverse to that. Again, the bikes on the sidewalk for me would be the simplest, but again, up to you. And if there are cars parked there, that means hopefully there's people in my stores. So I won't care.
Well, the important thing is that if you're going to be there and be in business, we want you to be successful. So we want to explore. We also have an obligation to the community and to Main Street. I'll follow that up in a minute. So I want to explore the different possibilities and see if you've thought of some of these other means of getting your message out for the drive-by traffic or walking traffic or whatever, as opposed to having the outside display.
Yeah, I think one of them would be a sign that's maybe like on the neighbors. You know, hopefully we get a neon sign, or hopefully do it with the city, their sign promotion thing. So that would probably be better. It would be higher and probably more visible. So.
Okay. One other a follow-up to the Main Street issue. I know that you had mentioned to me that you had talked to several of the Main Street people. Kelly, do we have any direct input from Main Street relative to their position on this, or the chamber for that matter?
No, the city does notify Main Street when we have a project in the downtown, but we have not received any comments from them.
Okay.
I've talked to a few of them, and one of them, fortunately, works right upstairs. And we actually have been monitoring with, because Ron, who's on the Main Street, about the noise thing. So we keep in contact with him. And so far, even with what we've done, limited stuff we've done right now, there's no complaints. And we've actually done little experiments where we started motorcycles and stuff to see if it bothered the neighbors who are directly upstairs, and they say they can't hear it. So as far as their noise issue, I don't think that'll be a problem. As far as the other Main Street concerns, it's basically the same as yours, where the signage and the motorcycles outside. So.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
A question for Warren. Warren, with the motorcycles being out front, is that more of a like a liability for the city or anything like that, you know, falling over or someone getting hurt, that kind of issue?
Well, that is an issue, but that isn't the issue tonight. The issue is that the zoning code says that all vehicle sales have to be indoors. So if we make an exception here, mm-hmm. now you've undermined your whole code for the downtown, yeah. and it yeah. makes it more difficult to prevent a large auto dealer from opening up somewhere else since you already granted an exception.
Got it. No, I understand that. I just was also concerned about the liability and safety for people. So thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant right now? Okay. Any last comments, Mr. Elliott, or questions?
Again, back to the motorcycle thing. If it's on our property, then, again, it will relieve the liability from the city. And I was just, that would be a spot. Hopefully, maybe we can negotiate or something, at least maybe even for a time period. Or.
I think really what we're hearing from staff is that would be against the code, and that's not a negotiable item is right. really what we're getting to right now. I think we all wish we could help you in some way in that respect, and you could tell with Commissioner Jack trying to come up with some ideas with marketing, but that really is a non-negotiable point at the moment. Okay. Anything else?
No, the other thing was for Commissioner Jack is if as far as the auto things in the future, I don't think structurally there'd be anywhere you could get automobiles into that building, especially being in a historical building. So.
Agreed.
Thank you, right. Mr. Elliott.
Thank you.
Okay. And seeing no one else in public comment, we will close the public comment and bring it back to the commission for questions. Commissioner Colomarino.
I just want to go over this subject of the display of the motorcycles outside the building. You mentioned that the ordinance doesn't allow it. Could you just tell me, do we have any discretion with respect to that complying that or with that ordinance here? Do we have discretion to waive anything on that? Do we have discretion to allow displays subject or not subject to certain conditions? How does that work?
There's a specific section of the downtown zoning ordinance. So under retail trade, there's a definition, auto and vehicle dealership, which is the same as we have in all our other commercial districts. But this one has a specific modifier right in the title that says indoor display / sales only. And that was part of the downtown redevelopment plan when this code was adopted, was they wanted to still allow historically some auto sales downtown because there were some buildings where it had occurred inside, like Nunes Auto Body was selling cars indoors at that time. So they wanted to continue to allow that, but they didn't want vacant lots and corner lots downtown to just be open and available for auto sales. So the council adopted it that way. We've always interpreted it and applied that there is no exception for display. All vehicle sales lots are display lots. That's all car dealers really do is display cars. So once they're outdoors, they're outdoors. So staff's recommendation is that we make sure everything is always indoors to be consistent with that code section.
So then you are saying we don't have any discretion on that, or we do?
Staff believes you do not.
Okay. So we couldn't have some kind of a condition which says, for example, that only two-wheel vehicles can be displayed outside and no more than two or three of them at any given time, and that they have to be back from the sidewalk. We couldn't do any of that, you don't think?
Not without a code text amendment.
Any other questions of staff discussion? Commissioner Jack.
Callie, on my question has to do with the service area. How difficult, if we went ahead and put in 250 square feet, I can see if the business expands that, you know, that's a very small area that they've got back there to work on those vehicles, maybe one or two at a time. So I can see, envision down the road, the need to be able to expand that a little bit. If we put a fixed square footage on there, how difficult is it to change that? Is that something that then has to come back to us?
That's correct. Any conditions that need to be modified, so if the square footage needs to be increased, they would need to apply for an amendment. I believe an amendment is $900 plus the other fees. So total, you're looking at about $1,075 to come back to amend that condition if they ever want to change it.
Would we have any flexibility in modifying that fee structure?
No, it's a fee schedule that's adopted by the council, so that's the cost of an amendment.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
We could leave it at the 20% and just restrict it to the back of the building, could we not?
Yes, that's another option.
Okay, which would leave it open for the applicant or whoever to not have to pay additional fees, and that way it's taken care of and it goes with the CUP.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes, and I guess the discussion about the outdoor display begs the question for me, is the lot then on the corner of Traffic Way and El Camino Real grandfathered in? There are outdoor displays of cars there.
Yes, it's existing nonconforming. It was there before the ordinance was adopted.
Okay. And then the discussion that Commissioner Jack had about possibly what I would have characterized as a video sign on the building or inside the building, does that fit within our sign ordinance?
Depends on how it was done. If it was a TV that was inside that you could see from the street, that wouldn't be considered a sign because it's a television that's inside the building. If it was a flashing sign, and it was more like, let's say, like a Caltrans sign, something like that with LED lights, we'd probably want to take a look at that, see if it's distracting to cars as they go by.
So if I had
staff may need to take a look at
a miniature Goodyear blimp on hanging on the inside that had the rotating signs, miniature motorcycles or whatever these are for sale here at Mobley's, does that fit within the ordinance?
It might. It probably would. It would depend on if it's flashing or distracting to the vehicles driving by, to the drivers. So we do have some specific provisions in our sign ordinance that say it can't distract traffic. We don't allow flashing or blinking signs. But a TV or something that moved wouldn't be a problem.
And then my last question, and before I had asked about the whether the alley was a public right-of-way, I guess what I wanted to also ask, was it accepted at some point? There's obviously private property that's off of that alleyway that's in the back. Could there be operated vehicles in that area that's outside of the alleyway and between the building?
They can't be working on bikes behind the building. So all of the service or repair, if they're actively working on it, has to be inside the building. So they could drive the bike through the site. It is private property, and if they're just driving the bike, I don't see that that would be inconsistent.
I'm thinking more of, it's been worked on. Do you want to sit on it? Do you want to start it? Do whatever. And in that private area, then, that could be done.
The issue in this case is that the bikes aren't street legal, so that's why they can't be in the alley. If as long as they're on private property, it's not a problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Jack.
Callie, relative to indoor display, because if the outdoor area is restricted, then is there anything that restricts the type other than, the blinking? I'm thinking of literally a raised platform inside with a bike sitting on top of it and lights on it kind of thing. Is this something that could be done?
Absolutely. That would be, would enhance the downtown if they did a nice window display. That would be a good way to do it. They could light the bikes and do a nice display in the window.
Okay. Thank you.
Kelly, I know that the city has had a program where they help the downtown businesses with signage. Where they help the downtown businesses with signage and those types of things, and with the cost, is the applicant eligible for something like that?
Yes.
Could and has he been, does he know about, I know he knows about the program, but does he know the details of it? You guys are going to sit down and talk about that. We don't need to hash that out here, but I just want to make sure he knows what's available to him.
That's a great idea. Yeah, he is eligible for a number of different programs that the city has to enhance the facade. So for signage and for other features on the building like awnings or paint, other things like that are all eligible.
Okay, great. I'd like to entertain a motion if I have one.
Madam Chair.
I have comments, too.
All right, we still have comments. let's start with Commissioner Jack.
Okay. One of the things that we've talked about has been the square footage versus designating that any increase in the square footage for the service area would migrate from the rear of the building towards the front on an equal basis. Mm-hmm. So I think rather than forcing the applicant to come back or someone else to come back and pay the $1,000, I would be inclined, as Commissioner Sturtevant was, to modify Condition 8 to stipulate that any expansion of that service area, complying with the 20% limitation, be from the rear of the building forward equally.
I think we can tack that onto the motion. So if we get the motion going, then we can include that. Commissioner Colomarino?
Oh, yes. I'd like to address that issue myself. I asked the applicant specifically, does he want to have the opportunity to enlarge the service area? And he said no, and he has no objection to limiting it to 250 square feet. For the reasons that Commissioner Jack brought up earlier, I'm concerned about allowing it to go to 900 square feet, even if it's in the back, because having a service operation, a repair operation in the downtown, I think is considerably more uncomfortable than having just a sales operation. I mean, if you go on Park Avenue, you'll see Mercedes-Benz being sold. There's a Mercedes-Benz store there. There's a BMW store there. You can sell vehicles in nice downtown areas without having a use that is incompatible with an attractive place. But once you start having a big service operation, I think it changes the character quite a bit. I think you're going to have, people coming in, getting their things serviced. There are going to be guys walking around in service uniforms. There's going to be all of the grime and grit that's associated with providing service, and that's a great thing to have these service facilities, but in the downtown, I think it is not the right place to do it. And so he says he's happy with 250 square feet. I don't know why we want to open this up and create an open-ended situation where somebody who might succeed him would have an expanded service operation, which would change the character of this use. On the same subject, I guess I wish we could do something about allowing him to put a couple of bikes out front. I know as I drove by today, they caught my eye. And I can see how that gets the message out to potential customers for him that he's selling those things. I mean, I knew he was selling them only because this matter was something that was brought to our attention in the last week or two. But I think a lot of people probably don't know that he's selling those kinds of vehicles. And if he has them out front, that makes a statement. And they looked like they were pretty attractive-looking things. So if he was able to, what is proposed now, and we could be opening the door to problems in the future.
Point taken. It is interesting, though, because what you're saying is you're concerned about a future applicant, but then if we're allowing, if you want to allow bikes, then we can be concerned about other applicants taking what we're doing as a precedent. So it's trying to do something for a particular situation with one thing and not with another.
Could I respond to that? Because, first of all, I'd limit it to just bikes, not cars. Secondly,
an exception, though.
But secondly, that doesn't create a precedent that necessarily has to be followed. If we open this up for 900 square feet, that we have nobody has any discretion about that afterwards. But we will. Everybody is going to have the opportunity to consider additional applications for conditional use permits and to distinguish between this case and future cases when it comes to putting something outside.
Vice Chairperson Benz.
Yes, I haven't said anything yet, but I'm ready to, okay? I think the argument that's going on or the discussion that's going on is concerned with the repair area. And the repair is restricted to inside the building only. Inside the building only. The modification of Condition 8 to 250 square feet, or if you leave it out and just leave the 20% in there, it means that if they want to expand that area over and above the 250 feet up to the 900 feet, they're going to have to find some way of putting it inside the building. So what are we arguing about? So I make a motion, the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2010-0014, approving minor conditional use permit 2010-0249, based on findings and subject to conditions of approval, including the clarification of Condition 7 by staff, the adding of Conditions 13 and 14 by staff, and a modification of the Condition 8 to the repair facility being restricted to the rear of the building.
I'll second that.
We have a
The second concern I have is somewhat of the characterization of what a repair shop is. Every repair auto or motorcycle repair shop I have ever been to has been spick and span. You can eat off the floor. I mean, they are immaculate. I know it's probably not an idea that the owner has considered as far as marketing goes, but, I mean, what would be wrong with having a clean repair of vehicles in the front? And if he's talking about getting some visibility, here you could have people walking by who could see something being worked on. It'd be almost like a candy store or ice cream shop where they have the product being worked on up front. And again, I mean, these things are clean areas, and it could be done I think, in a nice manner. So I would rather allow for the flexibility to exist, that if he wanted to expand and move somewhere in the store besides the back, then so be it.
I'd like to respond.
I would just I agree with keeping at the 900, but I would disagree with it being able to float it throughout. I don't disagree with your characterization of, you know, auto shops and service areas as being clean and orderly, but I don't think that that's what we want as a window display in downtown. So I would be inclined to go with the motion as is. I will, Commissioner Schmidt, if you need to finish something up.
I guess I can think of a window display that would be offensive that wouldn't be a repair shop in the front. I lived many years in Italy, and some of the window displays with mannequins were pretty risky.
I can imagine.
And it would be actually kind of fun to see that in a downtown area for me, but not everyone would enjoy that.
Okay. Thank you. And if we have anything to add?
Yes, I have something new to add.
Commissioner Colomarino?
First of all, the notion that every garage, and basically what you're talking about is opening this up to having a garage in the downtown area.
Let me stop there because we're
I'm entitled to speak. I'm sorry. I find this a little bit. Are you trying to censor me for some reason?
No,
I'm not trying
to censor you. I don't want to all of us have a discussion with the applicant here about
why?
Who feels what about garages, because that's not what's on the agenda.
Wait a minute. What was on the? He's talking about mannequins in the window. Is that on the agenda? What's on the agenda? He just said that every. And to say that's objectionable, I don't understand. If we want a nice downtown, an elegant downtown that benefits everybody, including the applicant here, who's running a nice upscale business that's doing well.
Commissioner Colomarino, your argument has already won. We're keeping it in the back, and I would like to call
for the question.
I don't know why. What is the problem here? Everybody else gets to speak their piece completely, and you want to cut me off. Why?
Because I don't think this is an appropriate conversation
for
right now.
But are you the final determiner of what is appropriate for me to say on the public record?
What we're discussing
this
right
is
now is not
hearing.
On the agenda,
this,
Commissioner Colomarino.
No, what's on the agenda is a vote on this application for a minor conditional use permit. There's a motion up and for discussion. We've all been discussing this, but for some reason you want to cut me off. And I'm wondering why that is.
It's not my intention to purposefully cut you off.
But you've
I feel
been doing
like we
this.
Have been hearing from you, I'm hearing your point, and I don't know if there's more.
Can we call for the question, please? There is a motion on the table.
Well, I'm sorry. I have the floor. I haven't concluded my comments because I would have concluded them 5 minutes ago had the chair not repeatedly intervened and tried to censor me. This is a public hearing. I'm a commissioner on this commission. I have some contribution to make in this discussion, and you're trying to prevent me from making it, and I'm just puzzled by that.
I be recognized, please?
I'm sorry, I haven't concluded my comments yet.
The point that I was making
is that not every garage is perfectly clean.
You have made your point.
I'm sorry. I haven't finished it yet. I've been
and
cut off.
And you are ignoring who's running this meeting, and I object to your disregard and disrespect of the chair.
Well, what about the disrespect of this commissioner in cutting?
You've had
ample
opportunity to express your opinion.
By whose?
Everybody on this commission understands where you're coming from.
Is there
from.
A clock running that says I've had ample opportunity?
And there's a motion on the floor, and it's being.
And I'm trying to have some discussion about it. Now, Commissioner Schmidt made some comments, and I'm responding. And I'm responding
fine.
Respectfully
go ahead.
To him.
Go ahead. Let's finish.
Okay. So my point was simply that not every garage. Well, first of all, we shouldn't open the downtown up to having a garage in public view on El Camino Real. And secondly, there's. Thank you.
And do we have a call for the question? Roll call, please, Annette.
Vice Chairperson Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
No.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes, and I appreciate your comments, Commissioner Colmarino. I'm glad you got to speak your piece.
Thank you.
Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-1.
Thank you, Annette. Do we have any commissioner comments and reports?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Signs. I noticed that some of the signs at the new Carl's Jr. Facility have been removed, which is a good thing. There still is a commercial sign that's on the west side of the freeway between Kerberell and Santa Rosa Road for a towing facility. It used to be on the north end of the property. I think the sign is on a skid, and so they've skidded it to the south side of the property, and it's actually been there for probably 3 months or so. And then lastly, living on Santa Rosa Road, we're starting a construction project on the road, and there is a new sign that's been posted by the city announcing the project. Does the city have to apply for a permit to place signs such as the one that's on Santa Rosa Road?
No, the public works signs are covered under the public works operations, and some of those signs are either public safety or the funding required signs, so they are put up as part of the construction projects.
So funding being monies for this project came through a grant of so and so and so forth?
Yes.
Is there a sign restriction on this on those signs?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Any other commissioner reports? All right, director's report.
Yes. Your next meeting is right now scheduled for July 6th. We have a fifth Tuesday in June, so there's no meeting on the 29th. Right now we don't have anything actually scheduled for the 6th. We know that's close to the 4th of July, so we may actually be canceling that meeting, which would then push your next meeting to the 20th. So just wanted you to know that. Update on a couple projects in terms of the Walmart project. The notice of preparation closed last Friday, so we've gathered the comment. Is currently its status is it's been continued by the city council. We've reported back to the council on the status of the project. There's a couple issues that are hanging out on that project right now that the council wanted some additional review on. One was an economic feasibility study. They've asked the applicant and Galaxy Theaters to split the cost of that study. Right now we've sent a letter to the applicant of the project, Larry Weisong, asking him or letting him know what the council's wishes are on that. We haven't gotten any word back on that officially yet. They also wanted some more information on downtown parking issues, so we are looking at a consultant potentially to prepare an update to the parking study. Council also wanted a larger master plan area beyond what was currently in the specific or in the conditional use permit application. So we've met with the applicant and talked about that as well. And then they wanted to review potentially changing the height restriction for that whole block of downtown. So those are the four issues that need to be resolved on that project before they're moving ahead, before the project can move ahead. Right now, the majority of those issues are in the applicant's court, and staff's waiting to hear back from the applicant. On the Rite Aid project, the city has finaled the Rite Aid building. We expect the grand opening to be the first week in July. So that is wrapping up. Once Rite Aid moves into the new building, that'll open up the building in the rear as a new lease space. We've been in contact with the property owner about new tenants. They don't have a tenant yet. They're still looking at options, but that is their intent is to remodel that building next and to get some new tenants into that property as well. We're also working on a zone change. We're looking at some cleanups to the existing zone code. We presented that series of issues and options to City Council last week. They've given us some direction on that. We expect to bring that back to the Planning Commission on July 20th for your review and comment. And that will conclude my report.
Chairperson Moreno, may I follow up, please?
Yes, Commissioner Schmidt.
As far as the comment period on the Walmart project, I don't know if you are privy to say or not. Were there comments received by Caltrans, APCD, or SLOCOG?
We did not receive comments from either of those three agencies.
I guess my only concern is, from my experience, there's always been a habit of one of those agencies to come in at the last minute during the public hearings and make statements about, oh, we didn't have time, our budget.
Same vein, has there been anything from Regional Water Quality Control Board?
No.
Okay. Commissioner Jack.
Farm supply? Any status?
Tractor supply?
Tractor supply, sorry.
We have been in contact with the property owner trying to help or assist in getting that project moving forward. There's been some funding problems with the project. Right now, we haven't been successful in resolving those. The project isn't officially dead, but it's not moving ahead at this point either.
Thank you, Director. And with that, our meeting is adjourned.